We're continuing our view of the stewardship season, and you know, Mark has laid out wonderfully these steps and these series of services, and we've heard from a number of you here, and we'll hear from more today. And so that's been a really a nice thing as we've approached this season. I want to thank Mark for all he does, getting us ready for that as a church. Now, I found an interesting church bulletin announcement that I'll start this off with. I'm not sure you'll connect it to stewardship, but that doesn't matter. So at this church, the women of the church ran a rummage sale. That kind of reminded me of our yard sale, you know, and except it was a project of the women of the church. So on the Sunday before the date of the rummage sale, in the bulletin in bold print, the announcement read like this: "Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a great chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around your house. Bring your husbands." Has only a slight connection to stewardship, but our yard sale to raise funds, their rummage sale. I'm happy to share some thoughts about stewardship. I've done this one other time. It was, I think, 3 years ago. I'm sharing a lot of the same thoughts as there continue to be the ones I have. The more I've come to learn about stewardship, the more I want to start from the beginning. Stewardship is a long word, and it has a lot of tentacles to it. The first verse of the Bible, y'all could tell me this one: in the beginning, what's next? God created the heavens and the earth. That is fundamental to how we think about stewardship. In Psalm 24, David declares, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And so there's several points I want to make, and this first one is easy from this point. I would suggest to you, it all belongs to God anyway. So, we have titles to deeds, and we have titles to cars, and we have a house, and we have to be careful not to think that that's not really the Lord's, you know, and it all belongs to God anyway. Now, the next question: if it all belongs to God, what's our role on this earth and all that dwells within? We read that in the passage. Let's go back to Genesis, in about the middle of the first chapter. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, and let them,'" he's talking about both Adam and Eve, "'and let them have dominion over all I have created.'" Now, that's a little bit of a paraphrase on my part, but he made a list there. So I'll read that again. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over all I've created.'" So nowhere in Scripture after that does God ever take away this responsibility we have as having dominion over all this God that God has created. And so my next point that I'd put up here, God has assigned us stewards over his house, over his possessions, over what he created. Now, stewardship, if you chase that word back, it comes from a compound Greek word. I think it starts with O, and I'm not about to try to pronounce it, but it translates as house rule or house law. In the Old Testament, stewards had responsibility over large households, not as the owners, but as the ones put in charge by the owners. Stewards managed all the affairs of the house: cash flow, crops, workers, training, food provision, problem solving, kind of pretty much the whole ball of wax. Now, this backdrop ought to help frame for us what we think about stewardship and our role in it. Now, if you're like me, at least most of my life, when I hear the word stewardship, I translate that to one word. What do you think it would be? Money. And maybe more specifically, I used to say, well, it must be pledge time at church, and yet that's a narrow piece of this. So stewardship is much broader than money. Okay, and I'm going to list some things I think stewardship is about. The first is how we treat the earth that God created. I think it's how we treat others, including our relationships, how we spend our time, how we use our gifts and talents, and how we use our money. So, you know, my point at this point would be, we are stewards over all this God has created and all that dwells in the earth, including us and all the possessions. And we need to realize stewardship is about a bunch of stuff, including our money. So I think for each of us, stewardship is a journey. And how we handle it says a lot about our relationship with God. And again, this is the God from whom all blessings flow and the one who should be in the center of all that we do. So, at this time of the year, we seek financial commitments. So let's talk a minute about money. And I have to say, it's kind of in a confession kind of way, that encouraging others about giving money is something I fundamentally do not like to do. I find it a lot easier to encourage you on all other aspects of stuff. And I think many people may be like that. Those other things that are easy for me to encourage myself and others in is using our gifts and talents to bring honor and glory to God. We all ought to be doing that. Being wise and effective with our time as we join God in His work. You know, it's not our work that we invite God to, it's His work that He invites us to. Being good stewards of this earth, God has charged us with looking after. So we need to look after this earth. We don't need to be casual about a proper stewardship here. But when it comes to money, if it's your money or my money, I usually prefer being silent. And that in and of itself maybe defines a problem. We tend to think of it as what? Our money. We worked for it, we earned it, and it's ours. But the truth is, money is like any and all other blessings that come from the Lord. We're to enjoy it, use it wisely, and be good stewards of it. So I'm going to grit my teeth and bite the bullet here a little bit. How should I encourage myself and you about the giving of our money? Well, let me look back at the talk about the tithe. The tithing has its roots in the Old Testament. In fact, it was written into the Mosaic Law, and it required the Israelites to give 10% of the crops they grew and the livestock they raised as a part of their worship and reverence to God. The uses of that, of those contributions supported the Levites, who were the, as you know, the priestly tribe, the temple, the feast, and the poor people in the area. I would suggest we do a lot of the same stuff today. As we make gifts here, we support the staff, the Levite tribe. We support our church and the facility, the temple. And y'all may not know, all that we take in at the church, we tithe back in missions, supporting charitable causes, missional causes. And so we then support the poor as well. So it's interesting, what they said in the Mosaic Law, with a few changes of words, is kind of what we do today. Now, when I look at the New Testament, the New Covenant time, the Testament we tend to like to study more than the others, we're not going to find a specific commandment about the tithe. The closest we get is what's on the screen. Now, this is Jesus talking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. So what's Jesus saying there? First thing I'm saying is he's not at all critical of the tithe. He says you ought to be giving your deal and your mint and stuff. He said, but in terms of the broader look at stewardship and how you view me as reverent, you're neglecting these important matters. I guess an analogy would be somebody to say, look, you require me to tithe, I tithe. I'm done. I'm not doing anything else. Our stewardship is about more than that. Our stewardship is about justice. Our stewardship is about mercy. Our stewardship is about how we treat the earth, how we help the poor. Those are the elements of our stewardship. And here Jesus is calling that out. Today, I would say, many churches, and the ones I grew up in as a kid, we pull forward the tithe as an appropriate target for giving. And I think it is an appropriate target for giving. But I see it more as a benchmark than a commandment. And I would say this, God knows each of our situations intimately. I mean, there's nothing we hide from God. He knows our situations intimately. I'm sure that for some, a tithe is probably not at all achievable right now. I'm also sure that for a number of folks, the tithe is either achieved or achievable. And for some folks who are extremely blessed financially, I would suggest the tithe is probably not enough. I remember researching a little bit about Rick Warren when he did so well with the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, as that was just reaping benefits over benefits. He started giving 90% back to the church and living off the 10%. Now, that was still a big number, I mean, to be fair. But that's a case where somebody was richly blessed and kind of turned the thing around. So, what guidance does the New Testament give us about giving? Well, when I study earlier scripture from 2 Corinthians 9 that we looked at, as well as a passage that I haven't shown from 1 Corinthians 16, I would suggest the following guidance. Quoting from scripture, we must give as we have decided in our hearts. So our giving must be a decision, okay? Then it should be a prayerful and thoughtful one. So when we're wrestling with what we commit to the church, it's a decision we've got to make, and we should make it prayerfully and thoughtfully. Looking at some other scripture, on the first day of the week, this is Paul to the Galatians, each of you is to put aside something and store it up as he may prosper. Out of that, I would say our giving should be regular. What we give should be set aside. And it should be proportional. And that would be the second principle I would suggest to us. The third one, and again, these are Paul's words, it should be arranged in advance. It should be ready as a willing gift, for God loves a cheerful giver. So it should be offered willingly and cheerfully. I mean, the opposite of that is to begrudgingly give at some level you determine to give, and almost regret it. I mean, that's the opposite of this. Here we're to give willfully and cheerfully. I've heard the expression, somebody ought to give until it hurts. I think a better way to say that is, given our response to God, we should give until it feels good. And so I think that's a better way to focus on this. And remember, one of Robert's points from last week, and we read this scripture earlier, if we give sparingly, we reap sparingly. And if we give generously, we reap generously. And we find these words, you know, more or less, in at least six books of the Bible, Old and New Testament. So let me wrap up these thoughts with what I would say is a challenge for each of us as we strive to move forward. And I realize that moving forward has the challenge of all the COVID stuff around us, you know. I'm looking at folks with masks, and I'll put mine on when I walk back out there. But we want to be moving forward. So I would say this, we should all take a step back and think about our stewardship on the big picture level and consider our time, consider our talents, our gifts, and determine somehow how to make a small step forward. Okay? Now, think about what we do here at the church, and this is not an exhaustive list. We got ministry team opportunities, and they abound right now, I can tell you. We've got Christmas shop going on. We got Bible studies. We've got music. We've got youth. We've got crisis assistance. We just completed a yard sale. Think about the ways you might plug in and take a small step forward. And as to the financial gift, I would suggest this. The tithe is a good benchmark, but I would say let's not get too legalistic about it and have it feel like a chain around our necks. If you do that, you're either feeling guilty because you haven't reached what you think you ought to reach, or for those who are extremely blessed, the tithe might represent a ceiling to them when they should be given more. So I would encourage us not to feel too legalistic about this. Again, it's you and God working this out. So I would conclude my comments by saying let's find a way for each of us to make a small step forward with our broad area of stewardship. You know, 80 small steps will result in a big step for Good Shepherd. After all, is that not what we want to do? So I'll say amen to that.